Thanks for staying on with us. This is The Economies of Election, or The Economics of Election. It's a sub-program under my show Notepad. This is because we want to give a completely, entirely dedicated show focused on some of the economic policies and just general policies that shape our country in this particular election. Joining me is Bayer's MD, your Managing Director, Leong Suk Phan. Of course, thanks again for taking time to speak with us. It's five more days before it's polling day. There's a lot that needs to be discussed when it comes to policies. Unfortunately, I don't know about you, but I feel that the politicians on the campaign trail, they talk a lot about rhetorics, they talk a lot about the ability for them to win and what they're going to do, but details on some policies remain scant. Do you feel that is the case as well, Suk Phan?
So, first of all, thanks for having me again, Ibrahim. It's great to see you. So, if you look at Malaysia today, we do need a healthcare reform. That's a critical need. We all know that. One in every second adult in Malaysia is obese. More than 70% of the disease are NCDs. Mm. For example, cardiovascular disease, you have diabetes, you have cancer. And I think policies need to be shaped to address those critical issues. Mm. So there's NCDs and there's also the aging population. Mm. Policies need to look at things which are able to bring innovation and access to the public. Mm-hmm. We need to have public and private health sector work together closely. Mm-hmm. When you talk about healthcare, right, you take it from the spectrum of sick care and self-care.
Okay.
Yeah. So we know that there's a lot of things that need to be done on self-care so that you can drive access. Yeah. And access comes with also responsible access, where it needs to literacy and education. So policy that allows people to be more empowered and knowledgeable to take charge of their health, it's critical.
Okay, which I really need to deep dive right now, because Bayer is celebrating your 50th anniversary in Malaysia. You guys have been around for hundreds of years, and I just need to understand a little bit better what you think. I know you're not an MP or a health minister, but generally speaking, you because of you operating in multiple countries, you know what works, what doesn't, you know what is cost-effective, what isn't. What healthcare policies do you think must be done to create a better healthcare situation for Malaysia?
Now, okay. So on Bayer, we've been around for 50 years in Malaysia. We have successfully championed holistic healthcare and agriculture. So if you look at what we stand for, right, we have, in the past, Bayer used to be a conglomerate. We have many business units everywhere. We have a few legal entities, right? But just in recent years, we have integrated into a life science company. Mm. And by life science, I mean playing in the field of food, nutrition, and health. And these are the most basic human needs. Mm. So in that light, right, in Malaysia, if you look at where we are today, right, we definitely need to have policies that address challenges of the growing population and aging population. So we need to be able to prevent and treat diseases. We need to be able to ensure a reliable supply of quality food to our people. Mm. So, and Bayer, we are doing that with light of our vision, with science for a better life and health for all, hunger for none. So at the end of the day, it is about food and nutrition.
Okay, yeah. The problem here is that based on various studies, including that of the UN Special Rapporteur that reported a few years ago, that the B40 community is malnourished, especially those in the urban areas. We're looking at general wider population, B40 tend to have better access to greater food. This is because they grow and plant their own food. The problem here is still in the B40 urban areas. And Malaysia has a 70% urban rate or suburban rate. We're looking at many malnourished situations happening in the B40 group and to some degree M40 as well. Do you feel that food access and good food access, quality food access, greater access to, say, plants and vegetables, greater access towards cheaper forms of protein, is critical for us to make this a better, healthier nation?
Absolutely. So if you look at today, right, the main issue is inflation. So inflation in increasing of cost of doing business, right, that actually have a stretch on the smallholders, farmers, right, to make a living. So we're looking at policies that allow them to have a better livelihood. So for example, right, we want to see a more reliable and steady subsidy from the government to have these smallholders, farmers, to give them access to quality crop protection and seed inputs, right? So that they can actually then, you know, harvest better yields, better quality food, right? And cascade down back to the malnourished eligible people who are at the B40 or even M40, right? And also, one of the things that's also quite important is also the government has a policy to ensure a steady influx of labour. Yeah, because if you know last year, right, or even the last recent years, we have had problem with labor shortages, right? We don't have enough people who come to actually work in the farms and plantation to harvest. So by the government working on this area, right, we can ensure, you know, even from the neighboring countries of Indonesians, laborers, right, who will come and actually work and increase the productivity so that our farmers can, you know, harvest and have a better yields at their income. And it also then translate to the whole population in terms of food security and quality food.
I've had the privilege to visit some of the farms in China, Germany and France over my course of being a reporter here in Estrawani. The ability for them to leverage on technology and increase the yield is amazing, resulting in them having to use lesser labor, but at the same time having the need to invest more in machinery and other technological advances. Do you feel that a lot of governmental assistance must be given into this space on top of the subsidies that you speak of? Because normally when we talk about subsidies, we're already hitting 80 billion ringgit, perhaps more by the end of this year. Subsidies needs to be weaned off eventually, somehow or other. But more importantly, how do we equip ourselves or future-proof ourselves? Also, do you feel that, you know, companies like Bayer has the opportunity to invest in these kind of areas to improve on the crop yields and crop productivity and to increase output while reducing cost?
So in our biggest division globally, right, which is crop science, right, we are a leader, global leader enterprise in the field of agriculture. We have, you know, we are focused in terms of bringing innovation in the areas of crop protection and seeds, seeds input. So today, we definitely see a lot of opportunity to partner, public and private sector, to bring these innovations, to the country, whether it's in terms of digital farming.
In Malaysia?
Yes, yes. Oh, wow. So even in the give you some example, right, in the couple of years ago, we actually partnered with the Ministry of Modernization Agriculture in Sarawak to actually pilot a hybrid rice planting. To actually, you know, look at the effectiveness of maximizing the yield of this hybrid rice, in Sarawak, with the intent to actually increase the farmers, you know, profitability and income so that they can make a better living and then, you know, can continue from there. So these are the things that we do, and we partner with the Department of Agriculture to bring those innovation in, and that's what we can continue to actually explore.
Would you consider this to be a pilot project or something that can be scaled, or scalability is there?
Definitely, but it needs to be, you know, supported by the government with the ecosystem that's right as well, right? And there must be interest to really drive that across the country. And we started with a very small state in Sarawak, but then again, take it to the bigger, it needs to have
small,
it.
Yeah. I can see what you mean. What about working with your competitors? Is that something that is on the table right now?
That, so far we have not embarked on that, it's something that is not quite tricky, in that sense, because when
because of proprietary information.
Correct. So far we don't really have that in place yet.
Okay, the new government is going to be set up. It might be the same UMNO BN-led government. It might be a new government. Do you foresee challenges in terms of working with the new government in executing some of the projects that you are currently doing? And as well as forming up new strikes of partnerships and launch new products and services and perhaps projects like this in the near future?
I think every government would want to look at driving, you know, better access to science and innovation. I think every government would want, even the new government or the current government, they've done in that sense. So I feel the biggest challenge remains, right, ensuring that we really put together a plan to really move from a sick care to a self-care. And that dynamic, right, means really giving the right framework of access, of products that allows our consumers to take charge of their health, because you have to understand, right, it's a chicken and egg situation, right? If you are not giving the empowerment with the right education, right, consumers don't know what are they going to be that's on
accessing
the table.
Yeah.
Correct. So that's one, and these also means very simple things, right, like giving education with hospitals, with healthcare professionals on the cardiovascular diseases and how this is a key burden to them. So that's one. So I foresee that as long as this is on the table with the new government, right, We will continue to work together with that, yeah, and definitely from the industry perspective, right, we are all ready, yeah. So we're waiting for the government to form, yeah, which whoever wins the election, and I believe there's still a lot of opportunity to drive through. Yeah.
When we talk about some of the policies and plans, that's one thing, but of course execution is another. I've had a rather robust conversation with some of the folks that are driving this in Kuala Lumpur, and they argue that the private sector is better equipped, more efficient, better regulated in terms of executing this. But my contestation to them is that, you know, you might not necessarily look at the greater picture, even if it is good for the public. If it's not profitable, you can't see the cash inside, there's no incentive for the private sector to move ahead. That's why we need the public sector to come into the fray. Where is the dynamic in terms of the public-private partnership that you speak of right now? Where should the leadership come from, and where should the execution driving this be made?
So I think it's both sides, yeah, Ibrahim. I think it's both sides, right? So from the private sector, we have to front this. Not alone, yeah. We cannot work alone. So going back to your question about working with competition, right? We do go on that front, but from an industry association point of view, yeah. So in the pharma industry, that what we belong to, right? We work on a lot of initiatives on that front, yeah, to actually drive advocacy for changes in policy. Now, also in Bayer, we've also done a lot of publication with the academician. In the National University, where we've actually come up with a healthy aging paper, talk about heart, healthy heart, so that we can at least understand the disease burden of cardiovascular. Mm. So these are things that we do. And also, besides that, right, from a medical assistance point of view, right, we will continue to give, you know, patient assistance program to patients who needs, for example, cancer treatments, right, as long as they are medically required to do so. Yeah. So these are the things that we will continue to pursue in light of what is imperative, yeah, from the industry as well. Yeah.
Fantastic. We'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a bit more with Bayer Malaysia. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me in the studio Bayer Malaysia's Managing Director, Leong Suk Phan. I want you to talk a little bit more about your program called Healthcare for All, Hunger for None, you've alluded to earlier. What would entail following this campaign?
Now, so that Health for All, Hunger for None is our vision. Yeah. So it's also at the backdrop of our mission of Science for a Better Life. Mm. So Bayer has been around for a long time in Malaysia. We serve the most basic human needs, yeah, health and food or nutrition. Mm. And what this means for us is we basically help to prevent and treat diseases. Yeah, we also make sure there's a reliable supply of food on the table, where to prevent a food crisis with our innovation in crop protection. Yeah, and we do this with Health for All, hunger for None in mind. Mm. And on top of that, right, in pharmaceutical, our division in Malaysia, right, which deals with prescription products, we've had a lot of innovation, yeah, to treat liver cancer. And what we bring to the table is also innovation, right, to actually, you know, bring colorectal patients with advanced cancer, right, the precious gift of time, yeah. We've also dealt with things like, you know, preventing stroke in atrial fibrillation patients. Atrial fibrillation is an irregular heartbeat, right? So that's a high risk of stroke. And in terms of family planning, yeah, we also protect women, yeah, from unplanned pregnancies. So that is from the pharmaceutical point of view, right, and what we stand for. Now, if you look at the consumer health spectrum, right, what we have played a role, right, very key is really to bring in very basic, you know, essential over-the-counter products, right, so that people can take very basic care of them or their own health, right? Take charge to empower themselves. So, example, during Ramadan this year, we actually, you know, give products like supplements, right, to the consumers to help them carry on their fasting in the day, starting off their sahur, right, with some supplement so that they can carry on, yeah. And during the COVID period, we partnered with the JKJAV, which is a special committee for the COVID vaccine supply, right?
Yeah.
To help advocate and educate people on the importance of, you know, COVID vaccine, yeah, to have acceptance. And we do that by also, you know, protecting our frontliners. We give them supplements like Redoxon, vitamin C, right, so that they can feel protected. At the same time, we give education. So these are the roles that we can play. And in the area of crop science, we've worked with the government, right, to support their effort to increase our own country self-sufficiency in rice, yeah? So it means that we want to depend less and less on import, right? So self-sufficiency in rice means we also need to bring in modern farming methods, right? And also technology so that the farmers can actually have better yields, yeah? Have stronger crops, right? And they also get better livelihood from there. So this is what Health for All, Hunger for None stands for us. Yeah.
What about nutrition advocacy? Do you feel that Malaysians should really be more open to campaigns on getting more proteins, getting more diet in terms of vegetables and reducing carbohydrates? I know it's not ideal, particularly when we talk about low-income family groups, but generally speaking, this will all lead to NCDs, this will all lead to lifelong diseases.
Correct. Absolutely. You know,
I think lifestyle for that matter. Go exercise. Go out there and walk or something.
Exactly. So if we talk about self-care, right? You know, Ibrahim, it starts with those basic, your diet, whether you are exercising, yeah. So those things, whether you are a smoker or whether you're a drinker, that kind of thing. So you start with those basic, yeah. So from the food itself, and we always believe, even if you take supplements, right, you have to make sure you have a balanced diet.
Supplements, yeah. Can only do so much.
Correct. But then again, we think a little bit about how many of us do get a balanced diet these days with our lifestyles, right? And even the food, how it's actually stored, right?
No, the problem is people don't see the importance of it, or people do understand the importance of it, but so many other priorities take place first.
Correct.
And then they push this down.
Correct. But that's where education and literacy comes to play, right? And how the government shape the policies, how they actually drive it to, you know, the Klinik Kesehatan, and drive that information to the people, yeah? And very basic information. And I think we need to see policies that shape to those kind of advocacy.
Would you argue that, or would you agree that advocacy and spreading information should be Bayer's main priority right now, on top of the many other things that you guys are doing? Because if you do control the voice of information out there, you might be able to control market share and help your bottom line.
Correct. Whatever we do, right, there's always we call it a science-led self-care. Yeah.
Okay.
Science-led self-care. So we give science, but in a very simple way that consumers can understand.
Mm.
And of course, we have to partner with healthcare professionals. So I'll give an example. So what we do in consumer health, right, there's two prongs. When we educate people, we need to make sure that they are able to digest. So for example, a simple thing like immunity, right? You have to tell them why you need to increase or strengthen your immunity, yeah? It's not just something that, because you can't see whether your immunity is working or not, right? So we do very simple questionnaire for people to checklist, things like, have you been coughing? Have you been tired? They do the simple, and then those things are actually disseminated through work together with healthcare professionals like pharmacists, because community pharmacies are out there. We're not out there. So you need to partner with these people who are in the community. So together with very simple tools that can help people to access their own health. Yeah.
There's also rejection of information, just flat out denying. How do you engage with these community members that might not necessarily appreciate the concept of facts, science, data, and quite frankly, truth?
Well, I think there will always be rejectors, yeah. We just need to keep pushing the boundaries of science.
I was just having a conversation with a flatmate, a person who lives in my condo. He doesn't want to take the second booster shot. He didn't even take the first booster shot.
Right.
So I asked him why.
Right.
He said, oh, this whole microchip argument came about. And
right.
I'm like, oh my God.
Right. So again, right, you have to go back to facts and science. So we believe as
and
a science-based company.
It's not a B14, it's not.
I know. It's not the first case we've heard, right? So you go back to even what our Ministry of Health was championing, is a little about showing people the evidence and the science, you know, and that, as opposed to compare to what is in the talk of rumors, you know, and non-based, non-fact-based.
What do you call that? Pedestrian.
Correct. Correct. So if you look at the science, and we anchor all our activity and activation on science at the end of the day.
But how do you not get frustrated? Because, yeah, you know.
You got to keep on pushing, right? That's why we've been around for 50 years and we're still, you know, driving successful business. And that's how Bayer has been anchored on, yeah.
Okay. We don't have much time left, but maybe you could zoom in on the areas of what you're going to be doing in the near future, at least out of the context of the elections in Malaysia, perhaps Bay as a group globally.
So globally and also locally, it's quite connected. So for our pharmaceutical business, right, we are focusing a lot on trying to advocate telehealth, telemedicine.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I know it's something that's quite new in Malaysia. Its adoption rate is quite low.
You see that
area picking up because of the pandemic. They have no choice. Yeah, they can't.
More of that.
All right, but now that pandemic is over, right, I think there's a bit of a challenge. Yeah.
Why do you think that's the case? Is it because of the proximity of the clinic kesihatan and the proximity of the ability for them to access?
I think the two things: there's mindset and there's also inadequate infrastructure as well.
Oh.
Yeah. So I believe it needs a lot of education, because if you give people the information about how telemedicine can also reduce the displacement of patients in the hospitals, then you can also reduce the capacity so that it can focus on more important and urgent, right? So, and also for the patient,
there's a lot of upside, but the idea here is to change consumer behavior. That's another thing that you need to do. Okay, sorry. So telemedicine.
Yep. So that's one. And then we will continue to advocate for self-care agenda, working with the industry as well, to shape policies that allow better access, drive greater flexibility to literacy and education. And for our crop science division, we'll continue to make sure that whatever we do is in the light of food security, self-sufficiency, especially in a crop that's so important like rice.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the reasons why I wanted you in on the final week of elections is because you've been working with Bayer around the globe. You're back here in Malaysia. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, you're the first Malaysian boss of Bayer. If I'm not mistaken, that's
I haven't been working around the globe to be here, but I'm working with many bosses from around the globe.
None of your leading.
Correct.
Right?
I'm the first Malaysian managing director. Yes.
And that is a big deal, at least for me. And I feel that we need to have more of these stories where Malaysians are, leading at least. If not, around the world, just companies or MNCs that are in Malaysia. Why do you think this is the most important general I'm putting words in your mouth. Do you feel that this is a rather important general election, or do you feel that this is one of those many other elections that we've had in the past?
Every general election is important, yeah. I've voted for every general election, yeah, as far as I've been in the country. So first of all, I have a personal stake because I'm Malaysian. Yeah, I will execute my responsibility to vote. Yeah, to make the right vote. And this election itself is important because we are also in a phase where Malaysia is transitioning. We are transforming. If you look at what happened in 2018, right, we're already into that direction, right. So this is an election that will make us transform and hopefully for the better. And we need a lot of critical change in the system to bring Malaysia back to where it was. It means it's on its way. I'm not saying that it wasn't there, but I think there's more to be done. Yeah.
A lot of people are going to not like me for saying this, but there are a lot of good candidates on a lot of all the coalitions. You can't just, blanket ban and say, only this coalition has a lot of good people and the other coalitions don't have good people. But generally speaking, we might see very strange results coming in from this election, because you have candidates coming in from the different political divides. They have interesting track records. There's a lot of hot seats in and around the country, and because of this, the uncertainty is there. Oh yeah, not to mention Undi 18 and those that are voting for the first time. Apparently there's 6 million out of the 22 million or 21 million, so we're looking at a third of the electoral population that might turn out and vote very strangely. We've never seen these kind of trends before. Are you concerned about the results? Do you feel that a lot more certainly can be done if we get more people to come out and vote?
I think in any election, the more that come out to vote will always be more representative, of the country's voice. Yeah, that is a good sign. Yeah. Now, I think there is generally hope. Yeah, with the government that's going to be taking the country forward, right, will make policies that it's critical to drive health reforms. Because again, talking about healthcare, which is most critical for fundamentally for any country to be progressing, and in Bayer, right, progressing to better life with science is what we advocate for, and that is also the policies that we hope the government will shape moving forward, right, and we will be ready to partner, in that sense, to secure, in the needs of health and food, which is what we serve most basic. Yeah.
So knowing this, knowing that we might have a very interesting result, knowing that the political risk of the country might not necessarily abate, but generally mature and transform, as I would use your words, and knowing that the global situation might not necessarily be favorable to consumers outright, including that of inflation, recession, and many others. And in the realm of food, I'm sure food inflation is just going to go up and up. Subsidy is going to be a big problem in terms of how the government needs to manage it or targeted subsidies. All this, how bullish are you in taking Bayer forward for 2023 and perhaps even longer than that?
We are very confident because we today, like I said, we are, you know, having a stake in the most essential needs of human, yeah? You cannot get wrong, yeah? Food and health. So, and we've been doing that for the last, 50 years, and of late we've evolved, right, in the right direction.
Yeah.
We will continue to use our innovation, innovation that we have, and moving even forward with new things. I want to talk about self-care and also in pharma with, and also in times to come, promising things on cell and gene therapy will also, bring it to Malaysia. So these are the things that we're quite bullish, that will still be relevant regardless of, whichever government takes over, and we will be ready to capture that, And if you look at Bayer as a whole in Malaysia, right, in terms of the adoption of the next normal as a company, right, the culture is already there, We've actually evolved this year, pushing through our ambition with a new working environment, next normal, and we've been quite bold, right, to reduce our carbon footprint by cutting our office space by half, and that drives the engagement of our employees to be more inclusive, diversified, and flexible, so that we can be at their best. So definitely we're ready.
Fantastic. That was our conversation with Leong Suk Phan, the Bayer Malaysia Managing Director. It's only 4 more days to go, to be frank. Today is the 5th day, but of course 4 more days to go. I'm sure many of you have made up your minds. Unfortunately, as a student bill voter myself, I haven't been able to conclude who I want to vote. Perhaps 4 more days is enough for me to decide, but do let us know what you think about the conversations that is happening on this channel. Also, stay on astroawani.com and all Astro Awani's platforms, because we're going to be bringing you all the latest news and updates regarding the 15th general election. Stay on Astro Awani, your 15th general election channel.